How are you today? Good to see you. I've been at an Emmaus weekend since Thursday night, so got home at midnight last night. So we've had a wonderful, wonderful weekend off at Emmaus. Rick is gone this weekend. He is at a reunion. And we'll be coming back today. So if you could pray for him while as he comes back, he'll get back safely. I want to ask you a question today. Have you prayed this week about things going on in the world? If I were to ask you today, what's the number one thing that you're concerned about in the world right now? What would it be? Peace in Jerusalem, Syria? The Boko Haram in Nigeria, Turkey. You see, we could have one each to all of us, and we'd still not get all the places that are just absolutely on fire right now. That like that, the world changes overnight. I was talking to a person not long ago, and they were kind of scolding me about, they said, well, you know, we were in a conversation, and I could see the conversation turn, and they said, well, you seem concerned about those things in the world. I said, you know, things are just kind of rocking along. I said, that's the exact attitude right there that allows for things to rock along like that, and nothing happens. I mean, when are we going to have a World War I Archduke Ferdinand moment? When, you know, the shot that essentially started the dominoes to falling. If you look at just the map, and I want to can't do it, hey Dave. And that's your device. That's my pointer. Can you see Israel on that map? If you can. You know, I mean, you've got to have your eye on the screen in order to see. It's a little postage stamp right down the Eastern Mediterranean. Now, we're going to read a... Uh-oh. Oh, thank you, John. You're using the mouse. I got excited there for a minute. Yeah, there you go. Thank you, John. We're going to read a passage of Scripture in just a moment. We're going to talk about some things. I just want you to consider some things. You know, the last few months, it's been longer than a few months. I've had a burden about things, and I really have a burden today that here we are in the West, and especially the church in the West, and we're rocking along like everything's okay in the world. You know, there's one answer to all of this, and the answer to all of it. And I want to race ahead to you and tell you what the end of this, how it comes out. And the answer is Jesus and what he wants to do through us. But there are a lot of circumstances that are going to go in between the time when Jesus finally answers all of this. That's where we come in. Now, are we ready to be used by the Lord in the time in which we live? Scripture says, you know, we need to know the time. Do we know the time? Do we know what time it is? I'll go ahead and put this little disclaimer out there. If you think I am a half-empty guy, that I always see the world half-empty and I'm a negative guy, you don't know me. That's not how I look at the world. That is not how I look. That's how I've never looked at the world. I'm not wired that way. Now, some people are wired to be more, you know, in that direction. Watch the thing. That's not my wiring. My wiring is encouragement. That's one of my spiritual gifts, is encouragement. So I hope this gives the argument a little more oomph. This is coming from me. This is coming from a person who is an encourager to people. You know, I'd like to say today, oh man, everything's happy and we're just going to be able to go with missions and evangelism to the world, just like we've always done. Well, there's two problems with that. It's the just like we've always done part. I found out that I never was what I used to be. Because you can recreate the past for yourself. And then the other part of it is, the new world, as far as the world system is concerned, has arrived. It's arrived. Let's pray. And I want to ask you, just pray and ask God to speak to your heart today, okay? Speak to you, speak to me. Lord, I thank you for your word, clear and plain. I pray, Lord, today that as we listen to you, that, Lord, we'll be obedient hearers of the word. Thank you. Lord, we submit ourselves to you. You are the Lord of all. Jesus, you're the Lord of our lives. And Lord, today you're calling on us to come off the bench and get in the game. Thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you'll turn with me to the 37th chapter of Ezekiel. Ezekiel 37. We're not going to read all of this. Man, I could really, really get bogged down here, and we can do a lot of things, but I'm going to read several passages here. But I want you to see this, and remember where we said Israel is? All right. Now, before 1948, where was Israel? Huh? What was it there? No. Where was Israel? Somebody said it. Scattered. Scattered all over the place. Because, little history lesson, what happened in 70 AD? Anybody know? Not everybody at once. Say it loudly, John, your big outside voice, like you speak to Tina when you speak authoritatively and say, okay? Destruction of what temple? The temple. And where is the temple? Or where was the temple? On the mount there in Jerusalem. Okay. And who did it? The Romans. And what happened to the Jews? Where did they go? They dispersed all over the world. So what countries did the Jews go to? It's a real easy word, all of them. They're everywhere. All over. Okay, now, here, if you'd have been reading Ezekiel 37 back in the 1800s, what would you have been thinking of words like this? Verse 11. And he said, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried up, and our hope is perished, and we are completely cut off. Now, who is he talking about here? What's the picture? This is Israel. This is Israel scattered. This Israel, because what did God do with his chosen people when the scripture says he came to his own and his own did what? Rejected him. What did he say in his word that he would do to them? He blinded their minds. Now, have you ever tried to share the gospel with a Jew? How did that work out for you? Years ago, in a church I was on staff at in Fort Worth, Texas, we had a guy who was back then we called him, you know, back then the word was you called him a converted Jew. And then right after that, a Jew that had become a believer in Jesus and Yeshua, then they started calling him a completed Jew. And then what's the terminology today? Messianic Jew. So, whichever name he was, this guy's a pastor, and I remember him talking about his family and what happened when he received Jesus, he embraced Jesus as Savior. Now, anybody know, want to guess what happened to him and his family? Reject him, cut him off altogether. Because well, you go back in history, and the non-Jewish world, especially Christian, does not exactly have the best reputation when it comes to Jews. Any examples come to mind historically? Say it loudly. The Crusades? The Nazis? I mean, that's probably the paragon of it all. That's maltreatment of the Jews on steroids. You know, we know of 6 million that were killed. That's by Nazi Germany. How many were killed in Russia and the Soviet Union? We don't know that number. It was a lot that were killed there, too. So, we come on up to this time, back to my example of person reading this passage of Scripture about the dry bones. I'm not going to read the whole thing about the dry bones coming to life. What's this passage about? The Jews have being restored as a people. All right. Go down to, let's read verse 12. Therefore prophesy and say to them, thus says the Lord God, behold, I'll open your graves and cause you to come up out of your graves, my people, and I'll bring you into the land of Israel. Now, who would have believed that miracle? No way it could have happened. But see, we know that we have this fulfillment of these scriptures that they're being fulfilled in detail. Go down to verse 22. And I'll make them one nation in the land on the mountains of Israel. One king will be king for all of them. They'll no longer be two nations, no longer be divided into two kingdoms. They'll no longer defile themselves with idols or their detestable things or with any of their transgressions, but I'll deliver them from all their dwelling places in which they have sinned and will cleanse them, and they'll be my people and I'll be their God. Now, have we seen the Jews embrace Messiah yet? Okay. If we go back to 1967, in the United States, a little statistical data for you here. Do you know in the United States in 1967, at the time of the Six-Day War in Israel, do you know there was not one single Messianic congregation in the United States? Not one. How many do you think there are today? Now, I don't know how many there are today. There got to be thousands all over the United States as we see Jews who are who are gradually, that they're, that we can see, it's cracking a little bit and the light's coming through. And we have a catbird seat of watching God do a miraculous thing. And that's changed the hearts of His chosen people and draw them back to Himself as He is getting us ready for the second coming of Jesus. This ought to excite us. This ought to have us, out there on the hilltops. Man, look at this. Growing up in Savannah, Georgia. Growing up here and the Jews that were in my life and try to share Jesus with them, man, you were like this. But today, we see that starting to crumble. Just look. Now, only one statistic I need to know. You know they have a Messianic congregation in Bloomingdale, Georgia? Let's get real now. Come on. Bloomingdale. Bloomingdale. I mean, those people came decided it's Pooler or Bloomer or Poolerdale or Bloomer. They've been mixed up for years. I got kin people out there. But it's miraculous what God is doing. Now, in the middle of all that, do y'all know any Jews that are that have family members that have moved back to Israel? Anybody here? Yeah, Jason. Who do you know?
God just started working for us about 3 or 4 months ago. Sister lived there.
Mm-hmm.
He's been there several times. He's like, I can't wait to go back.
He said that?
Yeah.
Let's think about this for a minute. All right. Now, in the last couple of weeks, there have been 150 attacks in just the greater Jerusalem area. Everywhere you go, there are people with automatic weapons, and you're living on a piece of dirt that somebody in Texas could probably say, I could spit across it. And just on the other side, John, can we blow up the Middle East or get another? I give up. Y'all are too sharp for me.
Use words carefully.
Boom. Where's the drumming? Thank you. Thank you very much. Can you get me another map? I want just the Middle East. I want to see the neighboring nations. Okay, we're cutting edge here. We're on that razor edge of technology. All right. You think about the people that surround them. Now, what's been happening in Syria? In the last little while. Somebody want to give us a thumbnail sketch? About 30 seconds, what's been happening? All right. So you got the Golan Heights, you got Syria, and then Syria wraps on around Lebanon, and the Russians have been shipping equipment into Syria around the clock. Now, what kind of equipment are they shipping into Syria right now? Name a few of the things that they're bringing in there. Tanks, planes. Their first move was to put that sub right off the coast out there in the Med. Thank you, John. That's real good. That's excellent, in fact. The first move they make, they bring one of their nuclear subs around that has 200 nuclear warheads on it. And they just sit it out there. It's kind of like when the fight starts, you know, you got your 1,000-pound gorilla, and you just sit him right there. Yes, a fair fight, all right, but you got your 1,000-pound gorilla sitting right there. But they followed it up. Now, what have they been doing for the last year? Probably none of y'all keep up with Russia, with what they've been doing. They've been testing every defense system all over the world. Do you know the Brits, on a weekly basis, have to turn back Russian bombers from their airspace? You know, we have to deal with them testing the border. We do it up in Alaska. We do it out in the open sea. Areas that traditionally, that they weren't out there doing that. Now, Vladimir Putin, being the KGB guy that he was, you know, he was head of the KGB, and now he's president, and he's got his thumb, on the largest nuclear arsenal in the world. Theirs is larger than the U.S. today. Man, I heard this stuff in church. This is real stuff. Because let me tell you what happens if something starts over there. Just something start. What happens to the world? Well, we got two examples in the 20th century. What happened to the world? We have two world wars that take place. So it's something for us to pray about and something for us to be concerned about. But what's God doing in all of this? He is bringing the world to a conclusion. He is, we sit sandwiched between the two comings of Jesus, and Jesus, his second coming, is sooner today than it was yesterday. Now, what should all of this stuff, you know, you think about Syria? And by the way, who controlled the airspace over Syria and all a few months ago? What nation did? The United States of America. Who controls it today? Russians do. Now, the Russians on a mission? Let me give you just a little historical detail. They've got something in Syria now that the Russian czars wanted. And that's a warm water port on the Mediterranean from which they can launch to the world. Don't say this stuff to scare you. What I say it for is to pay attention. To pay attention. Now, I chose to give you this. Now, we see ISIS moving all through in that area from Syria into Iraq. We read over in the next chapter. I haven't got time to look at this today. But if you read over in the next chapter, in chapter 38 in Ezekiel, it relates, and I haven't got time to go back and give you what would be the modern names of each one of these countries that are listed there, but it relates Russia and Iran in prophecy, that they will have a relationship. Now, let me give you a few other scriptures. Turn, if you will. Does the scripture prophesy that the ruins of Israel will be rebuilt? Someone turn to Amos 9, 11, and 13. And read those verses. Amos 9, 11, and 13. Come on, we got to move fast. Whew. We've seen that. I showed you the picture, the aerial picture of Israel before 1948, and I show you the modern one today. And all you got to do is fly over Israel in an airplane. And you can see this has been fulfilled. The ruins have come to life. And just like it, we read about the dry bones, Valley of Dry Bones, God has brought Israel to life. Now, that is a modern day miracle. Okay, Isaiah 41, 18 through 20. Just another verse, a couple of verses about that, what I just said. Isaiah 41, 18 through 20. Come on, some of you sword drill people, you need... Huh. So, is it the ingenuity of those Jews in Israel as they've gathered from all, as they've come from every part of the world, like Jason was saying, his friend that is saying, why would you want to live in a place like that you know, there's gun-toting people all around, one of the most dangerous places you'd think in the world, but it is very safe to go there, but Look at all that surrounds you. Look at all that surrounds them. And yet people are going there. My secular Jew doctor that I've known since high school, I'm sitting in his office one day. He's examining me. He says, you know, Dusty said, you guys are some of the best friends we got in the world. I said, and who would that be? He said, evangelical Christians. He said, you guys pray for us. And I'm thinking, I'm hearing him talk about prayer. This is a secular Jew. Then he tells me, I said, well, what about your family? He said, well, my oldest daughter, she's already moved. She went to school in Jerusalem. She's going to stay there, and my other daughter, I'm sending her over there. Would you send your girls over there? Would you do that unless God told you to do that? Now, I'm telling you, God is moving the Jews to do things. They don't even understand it yet. They haven't caught up with it yet, but God is doing it. And we got the best seat in the house to watch what is happening in the earth right now. That excites me. That excites me to be part of something that he's doing. Those cedars are growing. Those trees. I mean, all of those. Now, let's go on to Isaiah 27, verse 6. Read it when you get it.
Those who come, he shall cause to take root in Jacob. Israel shall blossom and bud, fill the face of the world with fruit.
Israel shall blossom and bud and fill the face of the earth with fruit. Is that happening? Give me an example. Take me back to the desert. But have you bought Israeli products? He did the whammy on you. I got a theologian in my house that's manipulating my pocketbook. Socks. What else? Aircraft. All right. Gulfstream builds those, whatever they're up to now. What's the number? The five, they build it, and then it goes over there, and then what do the Jews do with it over there? They improve everything. One of my friends has lived over there as an employee of Gulfstream for years and years and years. And he says, Dusty, so you wouldn't believe what they do to our aircraft. The things that they do, that they make better. He said, every one of our aircraft, the F-15s are flying over there. They make them better. They're improving them. And you think about that in their products. Go to Myrtle Beach. Been to Myrtle Beach lately? How many Jews you meet there? Start asking those people that you think are from some other ethnic place. See where they're from. They're Israelis. These guys in the kiosk at Oglethorpe Mall, half of them are Jews. They're not just Jews. They're not Savannah talk like Dusty crackers from, you know, South Georgia, that kind of thing. They are Israelis. And they're living here. Their products, their produce is going all over the world. Fulfillment of Scripture. All right? Somebody read Micah 4:1. In Ezekiel, I believe it's Ezekiel. Do you know what Israel is called? What one of its names? It's called the center of the earth. Little factoid here. Languages, they originated east of Israel. Do you know how they're written and read? From right to left. Because what does the language do? It points toward Israel. The ones that originated west of that, do you know how they're written? Left to right, pointing Israel. That little postage stamp piece of property, all the hoopla, UN just meeting in New York. What were they concerned about? In fact, you don't even have to say greater Jerusalem. All you have to do is get to that Temple Mount. What do the Iranians want to do with the Jews? To rid them. What do all radical Muslims want to do with the Jews? Yeah. To utterly get rid of them. I'm telling you, the stuff that is happening, listen to me, that is happening in the newspapers, all this stuff with Russia, they are pawns in this climactic spiritual battle of the ages. And we're living in this time. I say all these things, I could just throw statistics to you and things that are happening in the world and all that, you know, on and on and on and on and on. But let me get to the point. The reason why I bring this to you, why I'm so brazen about this today, is that we got to wake up. We got to wake up as the body of Jesus on this planet. I love what Bill Hymer said in his book years and years ago. I've quoted this book often. It's out of print, been out of print a long time. You probably get it on Amazon. A little thin book. But the title of it is Destined for the Throne. And his whole thesis is that the Lord is preparing us to reign with Him forever. That as we live in this life, He is preparing us to be with Him, to reign with Him. Now, who's going to reign with Him? Only those who have received Jesus Christ as their Messiah. With all the trouble that's going on in the world, do you know what? what trouble will usually do for most people is it makes them consider options in their lives. We live in the greatest time to share the gospel of Jesus that has ever been in history. The church is growing like wildfire in parts of the world right now. And every time one group or the other tries to stamp it out, what does it do? It spreads. I'm asking you today, as you look at the world, I'm asking you to pray. You get a prayer guide from us every, you either get it early Thursday morning or Wednesday night, every week. And you've gotten one for just about every week for about 3 years. It's got 7 items on it. I'm going to keep giving you 7 items till God tells me not to give you 7 items. But he told me, 7 items for prayer. What's one that is on there every single time? Pray for peace in Jerusalem. Because we're commanded to do that. Another item that is on there every time has something to do with evangelism, of sharing this good news with the world, and us being obedient to do that. Now, we can sit around and we can argue about this or that, or just live our lives and act like and like the ostrich, put our head in the sand and say, "We know this stuff, it doesn't exist." And I'm not asking you to have to tune in to CNN or Fox News or whoever you happen to watch so you can get angry every day about something that's going on in the news. That's not, I'm not asking you to do that. I don't want you to do that. As your pastor, your shepherd of this flock, what I'm asking you to do is to see the events that are happening in the world as fulfilled prophecies, should give us a rush of enthusiasm that the second coming of Jesus is closer than it's ever been. He's calling on us to get this message to the people in our lives. And however you have to do it, let me ask you, are you prepared for the world to change on a dime? Did it change in World War II? Did it change in World War I? Hey, we're sitting over here half a world away. But talk to some of those people that were in the trenches there, where their homes were destroyed, where their cities were occupied. We hadn't had to deal with that. And in that way, Americans are unique. And it has led to a laissez-faire attitude. I guarantee you, every little Israeli boy and girl that grows up realizes that they're surrounded. That does something to your faith. That does something. When you know, and it should encourage you. You know what I'd love to see in America? What I'd love to see in Savannah is the greatest revival that's ever taken place. Because a revival will hold back the hand of judgment of God. And I can give you this later, but my opinion is that God has already begun to judge this nation. That's my opinion. And the only thing that'll stay his hand is for revival to take place. Now, let me hasten on to say, Dusty, if things are rough, do you believe that God will watch over? Yeah, God will watch over us. And you know what? I believe God, for such a time as this, has brought us as a church to the kingdom. to be part of His plan, to be part of what He's doing in the earth. What'll change the what? One of the stories you don't hear coming out of Iran. Do you know that in Iran right now, that there are multiple people, multiple Muslims, that are having signs and wonders, visitations from the Lord, and they're coming to know Jesus as their Savior. And it's costly to them. There are places all over the world, friends that I talk to, just watching what's happened in Nigeria, the flames of evangelism that take place because people feel that threat and they know that the Lord is the only answer. So I'm asking you today to consider that in your prayer. Consider that with us right here. You know, we got to tend to the knitting right here. How about your family? How about your neighbors? How about your friends? Now, I don't know if I'd go and show them this map and say, hey, you know, world's about to be nuked. That'd be a new evangelism method. Come to Jesus. One more thing. I'll share this. I was talking to someone one day recently. They were, and I knew they knew that I was a Christian. I knew they were not a Christian. So we're having this conversation, going back and forth, and listening to this person, they realize there's a thump, thump, thump in the world right now. They know it, just hearing the things they say. And they're not looking at the world and saying, you know, things are going to keep going on like they've been going. No, sir, they're not. Things have already changed. You go get on an airplane, you go to the Middle East right now, let me tell you, your flight pattern has already changed because of what the Russians are doing with airspace. That's already changed. That's done. For this person, I thought when I left, I said, even a person that is separated from Jesus can look and see what's happening around them. Now, what should this do for us? It should drive us to Jesus. It should drive us to the people in our lives that are lost without Jesus. It should drive us to prayer, to pray for all of these things, to pray for the leaders of our country right now. All right, I'll shut up. That's all for now. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I bring this and share this today, this teaching today. And I ask you, Lord, you'll speak to us and you'll encourage us that we will be obedient hearers of the word. Lord, I pray for an enthusiasm to come in our lives like there has never been for God's word, for prayer, for being with the body. Because, Lord, it matters. We need you. In Jesus' name, amen.